Praise God. Okay, I've been talking about the fact that Jesus is light, and what he is in the midst at this very moment of doing is lifting up an army, if you will, of light. It's just so wonderful what his plans are. It's so much bigger. It is so much greater. It's so much more grand than anything that we could possibly imagine in our natural minds. Truly, his word speaks to us when it says that his thoughts are not our thoughts. We don't really understand, and that his plans for us are beyond our ability to comprehend. It's just so exciting. I think it's one of the most exciting times to be alive in the kingdom, in the earth. Maybe the only thing that can touch it, well, maybe the two only things that can touch it, is when Israel met God on the mountain and Moses released the Ten Commandments. I won't go into detail about that right now, but that was so spectacular that it's never been duplicated. And then, of course, we have Pentecost, when God came and revealed himself in a totally different way, magnanimous way. But this end time vision in the heart of the Lord is going to eclipse everything else that has ever been demonstrated by God himself. So I just think, since we couldn't be there at the mountain, we couldn't be in Pentecost when it was given to us, that, thank you, Lord, we can be at this one. What I've been trying to express to you is about visitations and visions that I've had, so many. I mean, I couldn't share them all with you. But what I've tried to do in the times that I've been together with you is to give you scripture so that your faith can be not in my testimony, but in the testimony of the word of the Lord. If you can sink your anchor down into that and keep your faith focused on what God's word says, it will keep you stable no matter what happens. I'm kind of maybe like a Joshua that has gone into the promised land and come back and said, wow, look what I just saw. Hear what I just heard. And really it was through Joshua's testimony of what he saw on the other side that he was able to stay strong to bring Israel into the promise. So, you know, in that respect, maybe I'm a little like Joshua, but nevertheless, whether I am or whether I'm not, the important thing is that you hear what God wants to do for you, what his plan and his purpose is, so that you can tag your faith on what he's saying in his word. and believe for it to be yours. Believe for it. Believe that God would like to bring you in to this fantastic, awesome thing that he's getting ready to release, especially in his church, and for the world to see that many can turn and place their faith in the Lord as well. So, starting with this, I just told my daughter, Ricky, that I probably am not going to be able to give the whole that I have left tonight. But I think that in the following week, I can probably do the final part. What I'm giving to you is not in depth. I'm just kind of skimming over the top of it, because I think if, you know, when you're only speaking once every other month or every other week, it can be difficult to share something that is absolutely going to encompass the future of the church. It's like you have to go down the elevator shaft, down, 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 to get to the bottom or the foundation of the insight and revelation, and then start building. For what we're doing on the phone, I can, if you will, take notes, write down what I say, go on our website, and do whatever we make available there. I don't know what that would be, but Ricky said that it's usually on the site within 3 days. So, Ricky, can they, like, hear the teaching, or is it exactly what do we do?
Yes, they can go to the website, the Prophetic and Intercessors Training Ground page of our website, and you'll see, and it's called The Light, Part 1 and Part 2. It's already up on the website, so usually we have it there within 3 to 4 days.
Okay, so they can listen to it like they are on the phone right now?
Okay, yes. they can just play it on their computer or their phone. They can play it.
Okay, well, that's great then. My, with all due respect, my humble encouragement would be to listen to it over and over again, to really get it into your heart so that you can let your faith bring a manifestation of it to you. I'm so glad that we're putting it on the website. So we'll do tonight, and Ricky just said if we need next week, that'll be fine. So we'll get through as much as we can tonight and then finish it up next week. And then you can go onto the website and listen to what we have there as much as you would like, really. This is so exciting. When the Lord opens something like this up to me, it's accompanied by what is called a spirit of stimulation. And so it stimulates my spirit to, with divine energy, you might say, to enable me to go after the thing, to endure whatever I would have to endure to appropriate it. Because whatever he gives to me is for the church. It's not that he thinks I'm such a good kid that he wants to do all these magnificent things for me. That isn't the case at all. I'm no better than anybody else. But he wants to bring the church in, and he uses vessels to do that. And so what I'm going to share with you is what I have been learning over a period of years, but over the last few months, he's been bringing things front and center to me and bringing new revelation of old visitations and aligning it with his word so that we can all understand what he's about to do. So when you go into prayer over this, tell yourself, this is not just for Nita. This is for any who will. And that's how he says it, because it's really, it is for those who are willing to pay the price to go after the thing and make it their own. So having said that, let me just say this. This is of such a nature that really, I believe there isn't a Christian alive, even in heaven, that can desire what is about to be released more than the Lord. He wants this for us so bad. This is the reason he is recreating us, so that we can be vessels of light and bring forth the glory of God into the earth in a way that has never been seen before. Now, it's very hard for us to compare things with the mountaintop experience that Moses had in the Jewish people at the bottom of the mountain, or the time of Pentecost. It's very hard for us. But God is preparing the church today for those who are desiring that preparation. God is preparing this our church for him to release the finest wine he has ever created for the earth. So we're entering in on a very critical and wonderful time. What does it mean that Christ is light? Have we ever seen that manifestation of Christ? I would say that probably very few in number have. But we can look at the Bible and see how the Lord took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain and made himself the Mount of Transfiguration. So he transfigured himself so that we could see the last day's church. He was showing the disciples that had seen him only in his humanity. He was showing them, you might say, the other side of him. But it was also a message to the church way down the line that there was a transcendence that was going to come to the church that would reveal heaven on earth. So, since we never outside of the Mount of Transfiguration, we never saw that side of Christ, how can we relate to it? I can remember many years ago, I was flying out of San Francisco to Singapore. We got up into the air when Jesus appeared to me. And I had been praying that he would show me, that he would help me understand how God could dwell in a human being, being all man and all God, that he would help me understand what that meant. I had been praying over it for some time. But here I am in this flight, at the beginning of the flight, getting ready to fly over to Singapore to minister, when suddenly the Lord appears and I see him as all man. Then it was as a light shot into him, into like his stomach area, and light began to, at the speed of light, I think, light began to move. You know, it's like a laser beam came into him, and light began to move throughout his whole inner man, not just his spirit, not just his soul, but his whole inner man. And it began to move until it was covering and intermixed with everything of his manhood. I was in shock. Because this light, it was so white, it was so bright that it would hurt your eyes to be able to look at it longer than what I was able to look at it. And because it took place so quickly, I could have just only a minute of conversation with him. At which time he would have to depart because I couldn't bear the light that was being seen and represented there. But he let me know that when he was here on this earth, if you could have seen him from the inside out, what I was seeing in the plane that day is what we would have seen. So on the Mount of Transfiguration, that's in essence what he was revealing to the disciples, is that glorious, glorious being, but who had humbled himself, condescended to the church level, to the human level, to prepare for himself a bride that would be without spot or wrinkle. You know, if you've got light, but if you could say to yourself, this orb could carry or hold 1,000,000 watts of light. But yet, because of some error, there was darkness representing sin. So much darkness over this orb that rather than it releasing 1,000,000 watts of light, it was only able to release maybe 10,000 watts of light. That's the only way I know how to explain it. What Jesus had in him, in the reality that he was all God and all man, can be expressed the way I just shared it with you. And so very few. I'm not saying it hasn't happened, because it has. God always brings forth the new reality through a few before he brings it to the whole. And so if we were to look down through history, and the Lord would help us understand who walked in these places and who didn't, we would see that he's been representing the saints of the end days for generations. I can say that because after one of the experiences that I had with him, he told me at the end of the experience, he said, I'm going to start sending you biographies of saints that I have allowed to live in this place that I just demonstrated to you, so that you can see I've done it before and I'm going to do it again. And I will do it for you if you will work with me. Within 2 days, someone from overseas sent me that book. Now, for them to send it that quickly, the book, the particular book that they sent, for them to send it that quickly, needless to say, they would have had to have sent it through a rapid mail service. After that couple sent me a book, then someone else did, and then someone else did. And so for months, I had in my hands books that people had sent me as gifts, not even understanding why they were supposed to do it. But those books helped me understand that a person who is walking in union with Christ is walking a life that you really can't fathom. You can read about it, you can hear about it, you can meditate on it, because the scripture really is replete with information about this, which I was studying as much as I possibly could. But these sayings were like illustrations of what the scripture was saying. And once you can get that in your mind and in your heart, my hope is that you will be so hungry to be made into his image in this way, so that the light can explode in the earth when it's time, that you will pay any price to have it, because those are the ones that will get it. Okay, Ricky, can you read John 1:4?
Yes.
Please.
Okay, in him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Again, Paul mentioned in his writings that it was really tough to put human vernacular to the things that he saw in heaven. And believe me, there are so many things that the Lord has shown me in visitations, either here or taking me to heaven, that when it's over, I'm left sitting and saying, now how am I going to explain this to the church? Where is the vernacular to be able to do that? Because it's otherworldly, it's heavenly, it's not. The easiest way to explain it is not in our natural language, because it's not a temporal experience. It's a heavenly one, but I'm going to do the best I can. So the life is the light of men. Boy, what a statement. what life? What does that mean? And what in the world does it mean to say the life is the light of men? What could it possibly mean? Well, I think Christians today have a little bit more foundation so that we can say, well, the life is the life of God. But what is the life of God? If you've never seen it, if you have never experienced Him coming to you and in essence plugging your soul into the experience, the manifested experience of His life, that would be hard for you to understand. You may be living in it, but to be able to comprehensively understand, trust me, it is not easy. But even though it's not easy, He can do what He wants to do at any level of our understanding. So sometimes our understanding comes because He has superseded what we have been able to appropriate in a manifested way. He will supersede it to let us know for a moment what all of this that you've just worked so hard to appropriate really means. So life, we look at life, we look at green trees, we look at flowers, we look at human beings that we love, and we see these things living, but they're not life. When God made Adam and Eve in the garden, Adam and Eve was given life. The Bible tells us that God breathed upon them and gave them life, gave them the essence of the ability to live. But they were not gods. They were human beings that God wanted to create and manifest His glory to. People that He could inhabit and bring about great good on the earth. I hope you can understand all this. So they had life, but that life had to come from God. God is life. No one has to give Him life. He is life, and life in and through Him is something that is so much higher than we can ever understand this side of heaven, that it can, if it took us 100 years to be able to get to the highest level of the understanding that would be possible on this earth, we would still have to go through eternity to fully understand it. I mean, isn't that exciting? But life, God's life, is also light. Now, I've spent most of my Christian experience because I have seen Him in that revelation many times over the years, not fully understanding what He was trying to share with me until the last couple months. For whatever reason, I always perceived light as being information. Come on over and let us study the Word, and I will enlighten you. what am I doing? Making the promise of conveying information. Or maybe you're a policeman and you're engaged in a case and something is putting your hands and, you'll say, well, that gives us light. It gives us more light on this situation than we've had up to this time. A conveyance of information. That's what I've seen light to be. That's what I thought light was. But what he is causing me to understand today is that light is life. It is more than information. If you do everything he tells you to do and you position yourself to be totally cocooned, totally absorbed into his light, you would find yourself walking in heavenly realities. Every time I go to heaven, one of the things that is the most pronounced to me is this beautiful, beautiful music that plays, this music that you can hear all over heaven. It's the most beautiful music I've ever heard in my life. And so I met a scientist. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but when I met him, he was one of the top scientists in the world. And he asked me, he said, I heard that you've been to heaven many times. Is there anything that you can tell me that would be something that I might find the value for my work? And I said, I don't know about that, but let me tell you this. One of the things that has really gripped me about heaven is this incredible music. It sounds like angels singing, but it's not. It is music you can hear any place in heaven all the time. And he said to me, have you ever asked the Lord what that music is? I said, no, because for a long time I thought it was angels singing. But he has just recently let me know that's not what it is. He said, well, ask him. Ask him. And if he speaks to you before your conference comes to an end, please tell me what he says. So I went into prayer about it again. The next morning as I was getting ready to speak at this conference, I was talking to him about it again, and I said, Lord, what is this music? What is it coming from? And he gave me one word that expressed that it was that the heaven is filled with the light of God. And this light has a song. I said, so the song comes from the light? And he quickened to me a scripture in the book of Job that tells us that even the star system, the planets, have a song. And it's because of the light, the divine light that is in them. Now, just because in our temporal life and in our vision, we see darkness, perhaps, doesn't mean that the light isn't there. We just have not been given to see it. And so if the Lord were to open our eyes so that we could see it, we would see divine light. And that divine light creates a song. Isn't that amazing? Throughout heaven, 24/7, if you can say that, there is a song. And it seems to travel. Yet I'm sure it doesn't. I'm sure it's just there. And it's throughout heaven. So now, this is going to be shocking to some of you, but I hope it's going to be in a good way. If that's true, then the light in you has a song. And it is playing through your spirit and soul 24/7. Because the light is there. It is there. And it's a beautiful reminder that light is not something you walk in a room and turn on and off. Light is living. Just as life, L-I-F-E, is living, light is living. Ricky, can you read John 1:3?
John 1:3. All things were made and came into existence through him, and without him was not even one thing made that has come into being.
There was an experience that was really wonderful to me, but not one that I was in any way expecting. I mean, I thought that God would decree, and through the life of his declaration, something would happen. But I actually was taken into a place where I watched Jesus materialize or create the future. I saw him create the future over a young adult person that was going through some trials, and I was very concerned, and yet he is showing me that he is even at that moment creating this person's future. But he also showed me that on a much larger scale, he is creating the future of existence. And this is what he would do. He stood there, it seemed like on the edge of eternity, the threshold of heaven, and he's, you know, rubbing his hands in a circular way. And as he's doing this, light that looked like sparklers began to fly off of his hands in every which direction. And the more he did it, the longer he did it, the greater this impact became, until the light flashes were so great that it covered, I can't imagine how much area. I asked him, I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm creating the future." And he also told me that he was creating the future of this person that I had so much concern for. And I thought, wow, this is incredible. The Father told him to do it, and he did it. So light not only has life, but it's a force that can be creative. It's a force that can sustain. It's a force that can pulverize darkness so that he can illuminate truth to us, so that he can send truth into our hearts, and the light will reveal the darkness and remove it, and maybe even pulverize it if that's what is needed. So light is something that is so great, so grand, so otherworldly. It isn't what we think it is, being earthlings. It is so much greater than what we think. So going back to the scientist, I told him what the Lord showed me. His mouth dropped open, and he said to me, "I cannot believe this. I am so glad I met you, because I'm a Christian, but I'm walking among people that are very anti-Christian. It has only been a matter of weeks that the scientific community has come to the understanding of what you just told me." And when I heard that, I thought, God is getting ready to do something that is so great, we cannot comprehend it. He's opening the minds and the hearts of probably some of the greatest thinkers in the world to see truth. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
So, Ricky, can you read John 1:5, please?
Yes. "And the light shined on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it, and it is unreceptive to it."
Isn't that incredible? I mean, what a sentence. What a sentence for the Lord to put in the hand of an adult, of a child, anyone who wants to read it, to help us understand the truth about light and darkness. Having said all that he said here, he's not only talking about the children of darkness or the spirits of darkness, but he's talking about the darkness that is in our own hearts. Wherever we have darkness through unrepented sin, or even areas that need inner healing, if it produces darkness, a dark area in our heart, light cannot penetrate because the darkness won't receive it. That this is when we call someone a babe in Christ versus a mature adult in Christ, it's because as a babe, they have not developed the spiritual discernment to be able to understand truth to some level or another. If they're an adult Christian, a mature Christian, much of that darkness has been dealt with by the Spirit of Christ, and in its place has been placed revelation, light, truth. And so, as Christians, we have to understand that we have got to overcome sin. We don't just put up with it. We just don't, you know, sit back and say, well, that's the way I am, because that is language of darkness. What we need to do is sit down and say, okay, I have this bitterness in my heart. I have that bitterness in my heart. I have this injury. I have this just unbelief. And say to yourself, I'm going to overcome it. I want the light in this darkness so that I can comprehend the highest truths in the kingdom and start working toward that end. You can't manipulate God into it. You can't, you know, demand him to do it. You can't, I just don't even know all the words right offhand that I could use, but we can't do that. What we have to do is humble ourselves and repent of the sin, the judgment, the unbelief, the apathy, whatever the darkness is in our hearts, we must repent of it and command it to go and seek the Lord for the light of his truth. And when his truth can come in to an area in our heart that has been prepared for him in this manner, then you can understand it. You can go into the height of understanding because you've been prepared for it. The darkness cannot comprehend the light, but the light can sure get rid of the darkness. Okay, Vicki, honey, let's go down to John 1, 8, and 9, and 14.
Okay. He was not the light himself, but came that he might bear witness regarding the light. There it was, the true light was then coming into the world, the genuine, perfect, steadfast light that illuminates every person. You said 8, 9, and 14?
Yes.
And the Word, Christ, became flesh, human incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us, and we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth.
Okay, we understand by these three scriptures, it's amazing to me that there probably has not been, outside of Moses, a purer soul in the whole earth than John the Baptist. And yet the Bible is telling us that he was not the light. This man would have been filled with the light, but he was not the light. Christ is the light. And if we want the light, the illumination of the glories of heaven to be given, to be an empowerment, to be a guide to us, We must admit we can only get the light from Christ. Even as we study his word, wherever our intellect is speaking louder than truth, we are not receiving the light of Christ. Only in humility, only in purity of heart can he give more and more and more of the light. And right now, he is building soldiers of light. You start out with the implanted seed of light, of life, of truth. But from there, you grow until your being if you could see inside your being, you would be amazed to see if you have done everything you should have done, that you are light. I'll just share this one more example to you, and then we'll work on some more next week. But the Lord had taken me through months and months and months of purification. This wasn't, you know, right after I got saved, so that he's saying, you know, there's too much of the world in you. It wasn't like this. I had been years spending hours a day in prayer, spending hours a day in the Word, traveling, ministering. I just hungered. I had such a hunger for God, I don't even know how to express it. But it was time for him to deal with a lot of wounds from my childhood. And he began to take me through that. But at one point in time, because I am a prophet, he will tell me that he needs to do something. He'll also let me know if I can intercede for or against it. So he picked me up. The angel of the Lord came to me, picked me up, took me to the place we had to go. We did everything that we were supposed to do there. Then he brought me back. And he said to me, because you have submitted to the Lord in all things, this is what you have made room for. And then he said, look. And when he said that, he kind of waved his hand a little bit in the air, and I saw a vision of my soul. And the only way I know how to describe it is, if you have ever been to a place where you've seen these huge ovens or these huge vats filled with melted steel, they melt it, they burn it, they purify it, purge it until you could see in this molten steel a mirror of your very own image. And that's what I saw in my soul. My soul was so filled with the light of Christ, I couldn't even go, ah. I could say nothing. In fact, it was years after I had that experience that I could even tell anybody about it. But he was showing me, even then, what the sons of light, the warriors of light, are going to look like from the inside out in these last days. When your soul is so filled with the light of his glory, you walk in a transfigured life. I don't know how else to say it. The life on earth is transformed. You see it differently than you ever have. I mean, you can't even read the word in today's light and see and have understanding, perception, and so on, as you can when your soul is that filled with heavenly light, with the light of Christ. You want to become a vessel that will reveal the unfathomable glory of Christ. Well, I just gave it to you. And I really can't take any longer to keep teaching tonight, because we do need to get into prayer. I hope I haven't gone over anyone's head. I hope I've been able to make a very high truth so simple that you can understand it, embrace it, love it, nurture it, until you become it. Let me just pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for these that are online tonight. I thank you for these who hunger for truth. I thank you for these that want to pray for the kingdom and for the nation and the nations. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your willingness to reveal those hidden mysteries of your kingdom, the mysteries of Jesus Christ. Help us all to be enlarged by these new mysteries being released into the church. And we will give you praise and honor and glory. And tonight, we thank you for the spirit of intercession. We thank you for giving us all that we need to bring forth what you desire of us tonight. In your precious name. Is John online?
John, are you on?
I'm here if you need.
Okay. I want John, I asked him to please declare as part of our prayer time tonight. A friend of mine who is a minister was given an experience with the Lord and given this prayer. And this prayer, this declaration, if you will, is something to really indicate to us the authority that we have to correct things in the earth. So I'd like him to declare it into the heavens, so to speak, while everyone else quietly prays in their prayer language, so that we can see the manifestation happening right before our very eyes of what I've been trying to share with you. Okay, go ahead, John.
This is a prophetic word that was, or a vision that was received at an intercession gathering in Portland. And he says, I awoke at 3 a.m. singing the song from the 70s titled, Oh Happy Day. The words of the first verse says, He taught us how to watch and pray. We are now learning as intercessors how to pray and ask God to forgive our forefathers for the atrocities they committed against so many people. He taught me how to watch and pray. This song was not just a song. It was, in that moment, a prophetic statement as to what is happening in America right now. He washed my sins away. I had a sense that this was what Jesus was singing over America at that very moment. He was washing our sins away. Because of the intercession that has been raised to the Father over these 15, 16 years, 19 now, and the repenting of the sins in our nation's past and present, and for those of our forefathers, He is washing and cleansing America. And I believe He's washing and cleansing all of us now. I have the sense that He was repenting of the judgments that were intended against us in this region. This does not mean each individual is free of the sins committed before the Lord, but that the nation was being cleansed from the defilement which the sin had caused. I heard the Lord say, Tell the people that it is now time to take dominion over several areas and to remind them that he has already given us that dominion. To exercise dominion, you must first speak to the elements and tell them what they are to do. We take dominion over the earth, the soil, the microbes in the soil, and command them to begin the natural healing process given to them in their creation. We command them to return to the natural order that God gave to them. We take dominion over the air and the rain, the seas, and command the cleansing process to accelerate in them, to restore the air, the water, the seas, and the soil to return to its natural order. Command the microbes, we command them to in the oceans to fulfill their purpose in the cleansing of the waters and the seas. They shall begin to heal from pollutions, from the oil and radiation. We take authority over all the life in the seas and the waters around the seas, the lakes and the rivers and streams, and command them to be restored to their former state of purity. We command the living things to flourish and multiply according to the commandment of God's word. We command the plant kingdom and the microbe kingdom to grow and multiply in the natural order of creation. We command all the seeds given by God to flourish and multiply. We command justice to be leveled against all unnatural hybrid seeds and plants and all their poisonous effects to the soil and water to be neutralized, and they will wither and die and return to dust. We now command the earth's internal parts to keep their boundaries and stay in the place set by the Creator and to not abate the position assigned them, but to stand fast and to purify the earth from within. We command the earth to follow its cycle and natural order and timing given by God. We command the elements to come back into their natural order in the seas, in the air, in the upper atmosphere and in the dry land, and they shall be renewed in the cycle and order God gave to them. We command the cycle of purification to begin over the earth, and for that which is old to pass away, that which is new to come forth. For now is the time for the touch of God's glory to come over the earth, for transformation to begin and the kingdom of God to emerge. Now is the time for a little bit of heaven to come down onto the earth. My messengers, my angels, are now in place to begin. The Lord said, tell the people that according to the dominion I gave you in the beginning, so shall you declare. For the curse is now under my control, and now supernatural multiplication will begin in your life, in your agriculture, in the soil, in the waters, under the earth. And for the rain, the waters that water the earth and that cleanses the air, multiplication, 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 says the Lord. Now try and understand, I'm calling forth the manifested sons of God, my sons and daughters, to come forward and take dominion and command order back into your bodies, into your natural, spiritual, and mental health. We command the elements and all nature back into their natural order. We call back into the ecosystem of the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, the microbe kingdom, and for them to return back to their place of balance. It was at this time I saw a vision of the Lord holding what appeared to be a three-dimensional hologram of a DNA strand. He was correcting and restoring it into its proper order and structure. Then I realized it was the DNA of God's plan and purpose from the beginning, the DNA of America. Then I could also see that it was the DNA of children who have been born with birth defects and left with horrible disabilities and unable to thrive and lie and enjoy what God had made for them and to know His love and His presence. I think that was thrive and live and enjoy what God had made for them and to know His love and His presence. He was correcting and healing the DNA so that there would be spontaneous healing and miracles for the children and for the people. America will shine brighter and brighter as she puts on the glory of the Lord, and the kingdom of heaven will begin to manifest on the earth once again. We command the plans and purposes of God for America to be rekindled in the hearts and minds of the people of this nation. We command the DNA in the people and all the children to be restored to the pattern established in the beginning. We command the DNA to release the proper signals to restore the body to its optimum health. Finally, he said to me, we command the magnetic fields of the earth to return to their first appointed strength and place given them from the beginning, and to not abate their strength or position. Alignment, alignment, alignment shall be established in the elements once again and in the foundations of the earth. Great changes are coming, but fear not, says the Lord, for it is the work of my hands, and my order shall be established. All my purposes shall be fulfilled. Lift up your heads, for your redemption is near, and I will redeem all things, says the Lord. All those things the Father has given to me, it has begun. I just have to say that I have never been given a word of this nature before. It felt like I was being surrounded by a mantle of creation and science that was to bring balance and order back to God's creation. It was in a place of wonder. It was then I heard him say, we are now entering a season of transformation, reclamation. Amen. Amen.
I do want to reiterate one of his last sentences, and that is that we are entering now into this time when God wants to develop in his body an army of light, warriors of light. And being warriors of light, your mind is filled with the knowledge and the thoughts of heaven and the authority to pray as this man has encouraged is in you, and the faith to go with that authority so that the Lord's name and his glory shall be lifted up and manifested as never before in the earth.